Chapter 47. To Race the Shadow. From the small courtyard with its pool of fish, Talonvor led Matt swiftly to the great court at the front of the palace, behind the tall gilded gates gleaming in the sun. It would be midday soon. Matt felt an urge to be gone, a need to hurry. It was hard keeping his pace to the young officers. Someone might wonder if he started running, and maybe, just maybe, things had really been the way they seemed back there. Maybe Gabriel really did not suspect that he knew. Maybe. He remembered those nearly black eyes, seizing and holding like a pair of pitchfork tines through his head. Light, maybe. He forced himself to walk as if he had all the time in the world. Just a hay-brained country lout staring at the rugs and the gold. Just a mudfoot who'd never think anyone might put a knife in his back. Until Talonvor led him through a sallyport in one of the gates and followed him out. The fat officer with the rat's eyes was still there with the guards, and when he saw Matt, his face went red again. Before he could open his mouth, though, Talonvor spoke.
"He has delivered a letter to the queen from the daughter heir. Be glad, Elber, that neither Morgaze nor Gabriel knows you tried to keep it from them. Lord Gabriel was most interested in the Lady Elaine's missive."
Elber's face went from red to as white as his collar. He glared once at Matt and scuttled back along the line of guardsmen, his beady eyes peering through the bars of their face guards, as if to determine whether any of them had seen his fear.
"Thank you," Matt told Talonvor, and meant it.
He had forgotten all about the fat man until he was staring him in the face again.
"Very well, Talonvor."
He started across the oval plaza, trying not to walk too fast, and was surprised when Talonvor walked along.
Light, is he Gabriel's man, or Morgaze's?
He was just beginning to feel an itch between his shoulder blades, as if a knife might be about to go in.
"He doesn't know, burn me. Gabriel doesn't suspect I know."
When the young officer finally spoke.
"Did you spend long in Tarvalen? In the White Tower? Long enough to learn anything of it?"
"I was only there 3 days," Matt said cautiously. He would have made the time less if he could have delivered the letter without admitting ever being in Tarvalen, he would have. But he did not think the man would believe he had gone all that way to see his sister and left the same day.
What under the light is he after?
"I learned what I saw in that time. Nothing of any importance. They did not guide me around and tell me things. I was only there to see Els."
"You must have heard something, man. Who is Shiriam? Does talking to her in her study mean anything?"
Matt shook his head vigorously to keep relief from showing on his face.
I don't know who she is," he said truthfully.
Perhaps he had heard Egwene or perhaps Nynaeve mention the name. An Aes Sedai, maybe?
Why should it mean anything?
"I do not know," Talonvor said softly. "There is too much I do not know. Sometimes I think she is trying to say something."
He gave Matt a sharp look.
"Are you a loyal Anderman, Tom Grinwell?"
"Of course I am. Light, if I say that much more often, I may start believing it."
"What about you? Do you serve Morgaze and Gabriel loyally?"
Talonvor gave him a look as hard as the dice's mercy.
"I serve Morgaze, Tom Grinwell. Her, I serve to the death. Fare you well."
He turned and strode back toward the palace with a hand gripping his sword hilt. Watching him go, Matt muttered to himself. "I will wager this," he gave Gabriel's wash-leather purse a toss, "that Gabriel says the same." Whatever games they played in the palace, he wanted no place in any of them, and he meant to make sure Egwene and the others were out of them too.
"Fool women! Now I have to keep their bacon from burning instead of looking after my own."
He did not start to run until the streets hid him from the palace. When he came dashing into the Queen's blessing, nothing very much had changed in the library. Tom and the innkeeper still sat over the stones board, a different game, he saw, from the positions of the stones, but no better for Gil. And the calico cat was back on the table washing herself. A tray holding their unlit pipes and the remains of a meal for two sat near the cat, and his belongings were gone from the armchair. Each man had a wine cup at his elbow.
"I will be leaving, Master Gil," he said. "You can keep the coin and take a meal out of it. I'll stay long enough to eat, but then I am on the road to Tyr. What is your hurry, boy?
Tom seemed to be watching the cat more than the board.
We only just arrived here.
You delivered the Lady Elaine's letter, then? The innkeeper said eagerly. And kept your skin whole, it seems. Did you really climb over that wall like the other young man? No, that does not matter. Did the letter soothe Morgaze? Do we still have to keep tiptoeing on eggs, man?
I suppose it soothed her, Matt said. I think it did. He hesitated a moment, bouncing Gabriel's purse on his hand. It made a clinking sound. He had not looked to see if it really held 10 gold marks. The weight was about right.
Master Gil, what can you tell me of Gabriel? Aside from the fact that he does not like Aes Sedai. You said he had not been in Camelon long?
Why do you want to know about him? Tom asked. Basil, are you going to place a stone or not?
The innkeeper sighed and stuck a black stone on the board, and the gleeman shook his head.
Well, lad, Gil said, there is not much to tell. He came out of the west during the winter. Somewhere out your way, I think. Maybe it was the Two Rivers. I have heard the mountains mentioned.
We have no lords in the Two Rivers, Matt said. Maybe there are some up around Bearlon. I do not know.
That could be it, lad. I had never even heard of him before, but I do not keep up with the country lords.
Came while Morgaze was still in Tarvalen, he did, and half the city was afraid the tower was going to make her disappear, too.
The other half did not want her back. The riots started up again, the way they did last year at the Tale of Winter.
Matt shook his head.
I do not care about politics, Master Gil. It's Gabriel I want to know about.
Tom frowned at him and began cleaning the dottle from his long-stemmed pipe with a straw.
It is Gabriel I am telling you about, lad, Gil said. During the riots, he made himself leader of the faction supporting Morgaze. Got himself wounded in the fighting, I hear. And by the time she returned, he had it all suppressed. Gareth Bryn didn't like Gabriel's methods. He can be a very hard man. But Morgaze was so pleased to find order restored that she named him to the post Elida used to hold.
The innkeeper stopped. Matt waited for him to go on, but he did not. Tom thumbed his pipe full of tobacco and walked over to light a spill at a small lamp kept for the purpose on the mantel above the fireplace.
What else? Matt asked. The man has to have a reason for what he does. If he marries Morgaze, would he be king when she dies? If Elaine were dead too, I mean.
Tom choked, lighting his pipe, and Gil laughed.
Andor has a queen, lad. Always a queen. If Morgaze and Elaine both died, the light sended not so, then Morgaze's nearest female relative would take the throne. At least there's no question of who that is this time. A cousin, the Lady Dailin. Not like the succession after Tigraine died. It took 2 years before Morgaze sat on the Lion throne then. Dailin could keep Gabriel as her advisor or marry him to cement the line, though she would not likely do that unless Morgaze has had a child by him. But he would be the prince consort even then. No more than that. Thank the light, Morgaze is a young woman yet, and Elaine is healthy. Light, the letter did not say she is ill, did it?
She is well.
For now, at least.
Isn't there anything else you can tell me about him? You do not seem to like him. Why?
The innkeeper frowned in thought and scratched his chin and shook his head.
I suppose I would not like him marrying Morgaze, but I do not truly know why. He is said to be a fine man. The nobles all look to him. I do not like most of the men he's brought into the guards. Too much has changed since he came, but I cannot lay it all at his door. There just seem to be too many people muttering in corners since he came. You would think we were all Kyrianen, the way they were before this civil war, all plotting and trying to find advantage. I keep having bad dreams since Gabriel came, and I am not the only one. Fool thing to worry about dreams. It is probably only worry about Elaine and what Morgaze means to do concerning the White Tower, and people acting like Kyrianen. I just do not know. Why are you asking all these questions about Lord Gabriel?
Because he wants to kill Elaine, Matt said, and Egwene and Nynaeve with her.
There was nothing useful in what Gil had told him that he could see.
Burn me. I don't have to know why he wants them dead. I just have to stop it.
Both men were staring at him again, as if he were mad again.
"Are you coming down sick again?"
Gil said suspiciously.
"I remember you staring crossways at everyone the last time. It's either that or else you think this is some sort of prank. You have the look of a prankster to me. If that is it, it's a nasty one."
Matt grimaced.
"It is no bloody prank. I overheard him telling some man called Komar to cut Elaine's head off, and Egwene's and Ineve's while he was about it. A big man with a white stripe in his beard."
"That does sound like Lord Komar," Gil said slowly. "He was a fine soldier, but it is said he left the guard over some matter of weighted dice. Not that anyone says it to his face. Komar was one of the best blades in the guards. You really mean it, don't you?"
"I think he does, Basil," Tom said. "I very much think he does."
"The light shine on us. What did Morgay say? You did tell her, didn't you? The light burn you, you did tell her."
"Of course I did," Matt said bitterly, with Gabriel standing right there and her gazing at him like a lovesick lapdog. "I said, I may be a simple village man who just climbed over your wall half an hour past, but I already happen to know your trusted advisor there, the one you seem to be in love with, intends to murder your daughter. Light, man, she'd have cut my head off."
"She might have at that."
Tom stared into the elaborate carvings in the bowl of his pipe and tugged one mustache.
"Her temper was ever as sudden as lightning and twice as dangerous."
"You know it better than most, Tom," Gil said absently.
Staring at nothing, he scrubbed both hands through his graying hair.
"There has to be something I can do. I haven't held a sword since the Aiel War, but... well, that would do no good. Get myself killed and do nothing by it. But I must do something."
"Rumor."
Tom rubbed the side of his nose. He seemed to be studying the stones board and talking to himself.
"No one can keep rumors from reaching Morgaze's ears, and if she hears it strongly enough, she will start to wonder. Rumor is the voice of the people, and the voice of the people often speaks truth. Morgaze knows that. There is not a man alive I would back against her in the game. Love or no love, once Morgaze sets examining Gabriel closely, he'll not be able to hide as much as his childhood scars from her. And if she learns he means to harm Elaine..."
He placed a stone on the board. It seemed an odd placement at first glance, but Matt saw that in three more moves, a third of Gil's stones would be trapped.
"Lord Gabriel will have a most elaborate funeral."
"You and your game of houses," Gil muttered. "Still, it might work."
A sudden smile appeared on his face.
"I even know who to tell to start it. All I need do is mention to Gilda that I dreamed it, and in 3 days she'll have told serving girls in half the new city that it is a fact. She is the greatest gossip the Creator ever made."
"Just be certain it cannot be traced back to you, Basil."
"No fear of that, Tom. Why, a week ago a man told me one of my own bad dreams is a thing he'd heard from somebody who'd had it from someone else. Gilda must have eavesdropped on me telling it to Colleen, but when I asked, he gave me a string of names that led all the way to the other side of Camelin and vanished. Why, I actually went over there and found the last man, just out of curiosity to see how many mouths had passed it, and he claimed it was his very own dream. No fear, Tom."
Matt did not really care what they did with their rumors. No rumors would help Egwene or the others. But one thing puzzled him. "Tom, you seem to be taking this all very calmly. I thought Morgaze was the great love of your life." The gleeman stared into the bowl of his pipe again.
"Matt, a very wise woman once told me that time would heal my wounds, that time smoothed everything over. I didn't believe her. Only she was right."
"You mean you do not love Morgaze anymore?"
"Boy, it has been 15 years since I left Camelin, a half step ahead of the headsman's axe, with the ink of Morgaze's signature still wet on the warrant. Sitting here listening to Basil natter on," Gil protested, and Tom raised his voice. "Natter on, I say, about Morgaze and Gabriel and how they might marry, I realized the passion faded a long time gone. Oh, I suppose I am still fond of her. Perhaps I even love her a little. But it is not a grand passion any more."
"And here I half thought you'd go running up to the palace to warn her." He laughed, and was surprised when Tom joined him.
I am not so big a fool as that boy. Any fool knows men and women think differently at times, but the biggest difference is this. Men forget, but never forgive. Women forgive, but never forget. Morgaze might kiss my cheek and give me a cup of wine and say how she has missed me, and then she might just let the guards haul me off to prison and the headsman. No. Morgaze is one of the most capable women I've ever known, and that is saying something. I could almost pity Gabriel once she learns what he is up to. Tyr, you say? Is there any chance of you waiting until tomorrow to leave? I could use a night's sleep.
I mean to be as far toward Tyr as I can before nightfall. Matt blinked. Do you mean to come with me? I thought you meant to stay here.
Did you not just hear me say I had decided not to have my head cut off? Tyr sounds a safer place to me than Camelin, and suddenly that does not seem so bad. Besides, I like those girls. A knife appeared in his hand and was as suddenly gone again. I'd not like anything to happen to them. But if you mean to reach Tyr quickly, it's Arangil you want. A fast boat will have us there days sooner than horses, even if we rode them to death. And I don't say it just because my bottom has already taken on the shape of a saddle.
Arangil, then, as long as it's fast.
Well, Gil said, I suppose if you are leaving, lad, I had better see about getting you that meal.
He pushed back his chair and started for the door. Hold this for me, Master Gil, Matt said, and tossed him the wash leather purse.
What's this, lad, coin?
Stakes. Gabriel doesn't know it, but he and I have a wager.
The cat jumped down as Matt picked up the wooden dice cup and spun the dice out on the table. 5 sixes.
And I always win.